We were in a series called Rooted, and we're talking about we have to have deeper roots if we want to grow. Plants have to have strong roots in order to produce fruit. And so we talked about the very first thing that we need to consider is being rooted in Christ. Christ is our firm foundation. And when we root ourselves to Christ, then we are able to not be free of anything, but we are protected. Our faith and our hope is in a person, Jesus Christ. Then we talked about being rooted in the Word. Some people look at the Scriptures and they say, oh, it was written so long ago, does it even make sense today? It's all outdated, out-fashioned. Oh, I heard it says this about women. I've heard it said this about so-and-so. And it talks about everybody but me, you know. It steps on everybody's toes but me. And so we look at God's Word and we try to bend it to match what we want it to say. But if we anchor ourselves in the Word of God, the noise of the world goes away. We have a firm foundation, first rooted to Christ, but then in God's Word. And then last week we talked about being rooted in prayer. Prayer is the water. It's the life-giving force for us. It's our connection. It's a relationship. It's not a formula. It's what we do, and it's our relationship with Jesus. And so today we're going to talk about something that I talked all year about last year. What was it? Community. Absolutely. Thank you. Community. God grows us best in community, not in isolation. It's community. Many people love Jesus, but they struggle with his people. Some have been hurt in churches by Christians. Some are tired. Some are introverts and prefer privacy. Some are just outgoing. Introvert, definitely not Edwin. He's not even an extrovert. He's an outrovert. But the Scripture is clear. Spiritual growth may be personal, but it's never private. This is our Scripture today. It's from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. It's one we're familiar with. You can turn in your Bibles with me. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. I love that. How many of the believers? All. All the believers, they did what? Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to sharing in meals on like Wednesday nights, and the Lord's Prayer, the first of every month, and in prayer. Then next verse. A deep sense of awe came over all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and to share meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. So all of this stuff was happening. This fellowship, this organism was coming together, and they were loving each other, and they were sharing with each other, and they were sharing joys and carrying each other's burdens. And here's how God responded. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Not just, hey, I'm going to add numbers in there. I'm adding numbers that are being saved. And that's what we're missing in the church today. We're concerned about how many people we can get to fill up chairs and stuff. But God doesn't care about that. God cares about those that are being saved. That's our mission, to love God, to love others, and then to what? Make disciples. And we do that because our vision is to see people's lives transformed by the amazing love and mercy and grace of Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread. They had all these things together. Everything was in common. God added to their numbers. This isn't a program. Four ways to get your church to grow. First you do this, then you got to have a meal, then you got to have prayer, then you got to do this. And no, it's not a formula. It's a picture. It's a picture of what the church can be, what fellowship could be. Tony, show us some redwoods. I got some pictures of redwoods. Y'all familiar with redwoods? Tallest trees in the world. Some grow as high as 300 feet, and I got some pictures there. This is if you're on the ground just laying there looking up. The next one, just to kind of get a perspective on the size. And then next one is one that's kind of actually fallen, and this is important. You see how big and thick the tree is, but look how the tap roots are not deep at all. And that's something unique about the redwood trees that I wanted to share with you. The tap roots only go between 6 to 12 feet, which in tree size of 300 feet is not very deep. What happens is their roots actually grow outward instead of inward and down. And so what happens is they lock together with the roots of other redwood trees. In other words, this tree is coming to this way, and this tree is coming to look what we made, stronger roots kind of thing. I don't know why I did it as a song. But what happens is they lock together under the ground. They lock together under the ground. So unlike our pine trees, which may find your way into your septic tank or whatever else, but unlike our pine trees with the shallow roots, when the winds come and they snap and they break and everything else, what happens with the redwoods, the roots of one help secure the roots of the other, and they keep balanced against each other, and they support each other. It's held up by the strength of the whole forest. And whenever you see the redwood forest, you see many, many, many of all of these things. And that's a picture of the church in Acts 2. It's not isolated believers just kind of coming together having to do life on their own. It's coming together in fellowship. Their lives were deeply entwined. They had everything in common: worship, prayer, food, generosity in their mission. And we can't grow roots like that if we're isolated. When someone gets their feelings hurt, sometimes what we want to do is just get away. I don't want to see people. I don't want to do anything. And so we isolate. And when we do that, our problems grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and to the point where we look around and say, nobody cares. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. And we have that mentality that's going on. But when we don't isolate and we stay together, what we find is someone that walks beside us, someone that comes along beside us, and we're able to lean on them. We're able to walk with them. They are able to share each other's burdens and joys. So a couple things I want us to just hone in on community today. The first thing, community isn't optional. Jesus never said, hey, do this, 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 and this, but you know what? You don't have to worry about fellowship. Jesus gave his life for the body of Christ, which is the church. It says they devoted themselves. Community wasn't casual. It was devoted. It was intentional. From the beginning, God designed our faith to grow together. Look at the pictures in the Bible. Israel as a people. It's the people that he called. The disciples that Jesus called were a group, and they supported each other and prayed with each other and spent time with each other. The church as the body of Christ. Some are legs, some are arms, some are mouths, some are hands. We're all different parts of the body. Christianity is not a solo journey. What happens is we give our lives to Christ, which is personal, but then we share it with each other in a shared life, and that's called community. That's called the body of Christ. Monday night, we had our men's fire, and we sit out there in the fire, and as I was watching Steve stoke the fire, what happens is I would watch, and there's this bed of coals, man, that is really hot, and you could kind of see like the wavy heat that's going on there. But I've noticed, like, you know, Steve will put a log on there, and eventually part of this log burns, but another part just kind of falls away. And I watched that, and that, you know, that it never, this end never really caught on fire till Steve took the little poker and poked that thing back up on the log, and guess what? Then it starts burning brightly. And that's what happens in our church. That's what happens in any kind of community or fellowship. When we isolate, when we grow away, it will slowly extinguish. It will not catch fire, have the same heat. And a lot of people in the church will drift away from faith, not out of rebellion, I'm mad at somebody, but more, they're disconnected. I couldn't make it this week. It's just been a busy schedule. And after you miss 1 week, and then let's say you miss 2 weeks, and then say you miss that third week, then you come the fourth week, and everybody goes, where have you been, huh? Where have you been? And you kind of take it personal, like, what? And you get your feelings hurt. What happens? You go. And we never see you, and we never hear from you, and we wonder, what happened? What happened? We drift because we get disconnected, our busy schedules, quiet hurts, the subtle isolation. I'm the only one that's going through this. God's answering your prayers. That's great for you, but he's not doing anything for me. I just want to be alone. Redwoods don't survive, the redwoods, because they're strong individually. They're not. In fact, there's a big hole in one that you can drive through or walk through. It's crazy. What they do and they survive is because they are connected together intentionally. Isolation weakens our faith, but community will strengthen it. Another thing, I think some people confuse attendance with being connected. Well, I was in church yesterday. Yeah, but are you connected? Are you in a small group? Are you in a men's group? Are you in a women's group? Are you in any kind of group? Or you just show up on Sunday, wave to everybody, say, hey, everything's fine, and then you go home and everything is not fine. How are we connected? Here's the thing. You can attend church. You can sing the songs with us. You can hear sermons. And you can still be disconnected. In community, what happens? Faith gets personal. Questions get asked. Our burdens get shared. It's a wonderful thing. I find this out. Sometimes when I get up in the morning and I'm going to the gym to go work out, sometimes when I get to the gym, I don't want to work out. So let's say that's one of those days. I just want to get the points on my app saying that I showed up to the gym so I can show Margie, yeah, see, I was really at the gym. When I was really sitting, I went to the gym, got the location, then I went to Dunkin' Donuts, and now I'm eating a donut and drinking a coffee or something. I could go to the gym, but if I don't avail myself of the weights and I never work out, you know what? I'm present. I'm there. But nothing changes. If you are coming to church, or if you are involved in fellowship somewhere, even at your work, if you are involved in the fellowship and your only response is, hey, I just show up every day, I do my thing, and then I'm gone, and I'm never connected. There is no growth. Nothing changes. You're always going to be that way. In the same way, we can attend this church faithfully, and we can keep showing up, and it's so good to see everybody, and I love that, and you can still avoid some kind of connection. You could sit next to someone on the chairs next to you and not even know their story, what they're going through. And connection, I'll tell you what, doesn't happen in rows. You know, it's easy to sit next to. I used to say, like, okay, now move around and shake somebody's hand and give somebody a hug that you hadn't seen. And we used to do that, but then everybody got COVID, so we don't do that anymore. It's crazy. But community is what God is using us to help us get fully known. You can't be fully known or fully grown without some kind of community. Another thing, God uses community not just to shape us, or he uses it to shape us, not to just give us what we want or to support us. When we pray, when we meet together, oftentimes we want community for what? Well, we want to be known. We want to be loved. We want to have encouragement. We want care. We want support. And God absolutely provides all of that. But community also challenges us. It will sharpen us. It will correct us. It will teach us. Community exposes rough edges. And it exposes those not to shame us, but to shape us, to mold us. I mean, nobody in the history has ever prayed for patience and then enjoyed how God showed up and gave them patience. Because patience usually come through people who are tested by it. Community sometimes is going to put you around people you don't like, people you don't know, people that you're uncomfortable with, some people that act like you, some people that move at your pace, some people that move faster, some people that move slower, and there's friction that's going on. But I'm going to tell you, friction is not failure. The scripture says, like iron sharpens iron. The redwoods, if I go back to that, when the roots intertwine, what they do is there's actually friction as they kind of rub against each other. And that friction isn't a flaw. It's what creates strength. I didn't realize this. You break a bone, as it sets and heals, it comes back stronger. It's crazy. I was thinking as a kid, maybe I should break all my bones and then be Superman. It doesn't work like that. God uses people to do the work that he could do on his own, that he could do alone, but transformation happens when we're in relationship with people. And I think community, one of the important things for me is it creates this stability, this hope. When we're in difficult seasons in our lives, and you guys know that Margie and I are experiencing craziness in our house with my mom and now her mom, and there's just, you feel like Satan is hitting you from everywhere. And then it's not just that. We've got kids and grandkids, and then we've got the news, and then they still haven't found that mother of the news person. And I mean, just there's crazy stuff going on. And then some people are complaining about the Olympics, and then some people are claiming, you know, the government. Let me tell you, whatever you focus on, that's what you're going to be, your passion's going to be. If all you do is sit and watch the news, you're going to be angry at whatever news channel that you're watching. That's going to be your focus and your passion. You're going to be mad at everything that they're going to be your God. And what they're mad at, I'm mad at. We were made and created in the image of God, and we have been returning the favor to him ever since, trying to make him into our image. Oh, God would like the people I like. God would vote the way I vote. You know, God certainly wouldn't put up with those people. And we try to shape that. And we go through these difficult seasons. But look what this community does in Acts chapter 2. They shared meals. They shared resources. They shared prayers. They shared joy. Why? Because storms are going to come in your life. Faith will get tested. You will feel isolated at times. You will feel alone. You will feel that your life is heavy. And when it does, shallow connections are not going to hold you up. You need strength and stability. And when life is good, when you go to the beach and the water's good and the temperature's good, guess what? Everybody's a great swimmer. But when the waves start to white cap on you, you find out who's in the boat with you. People rarely walk away from church when they're in a crisis. They walk away when no one notices that people are hurting. Storms don't uproot the wet redwoods because no tree bears its full weight. They're all connected. And deep roots are often formed through shared struggles. And so what that means for Three Point Bible Church, I think, is that a rooted church becomes a reaching church. In Edwin's prayers, he talked about reaching out, bringing people to Christ. That's our job. That's our mission. And it says this, notice, the Lord added to their number daily. Community wasn't inward focused. It was outward impacting. People saw genuine love. People saw genuinely sharing of their lives. They saw authentic faith, and that people were drawn to Christ. You know what the early church wasn't grown by? Brilliant marketing, great buildings, a strategy that'll take us, this is our 5-year plan. When a church, when somebody sees a church show up with meals, or to comfort somebody in the hospital, or to come around somebody that's hurting in the family. When somebody sees that, they don't say, oh, what a great church. What they say and what they think is, man, there must be something real in their life about that God that they serve. A single tree could be impressive, but it's the forest that changes the landscape. And that's what community is. When we show up, you know, people aren't going to say like, oh, Three Point Bible Church. What they say, see, is the people who loved and cared for them and showed up and loved them. So how do we go from this consumer sucker mentality to being a contributor, to being the fruit? You know, Steve Devane talked about, you know, when you go to prune, you got these suckers, and you got to take the suckers off because it's just really sucking the life and the energy out, and so the fruit is smaller. So you prune those off, and guess what happens? The fruit grows and becomes more fruitful and bigger and better. So how do we go from that to that? Well, community doesn't work when we sit back and say, well, I'm not comfortable with that, or I didn't really get anything out of that. And so we come at it at a different point like that, or maybe I don't like everybody. In fact, I like two people and my dog, and that's pretty much it. But communities work more like this. Who can we serve today? Who can we serve today? Who can I call and just encourage them and say, you know what, you have been on my mind, and I want to say a prayer for you. Or say, like, you know, where can I be faithful? What is God calling me to do? I feel God is pushing me somewhere, but, man, I don't want to end up doing something crazy. You know what, you don't have to be perfect. Talked about it last week. Howard prayed last week. Edwin prayed this week. You don't have to pray like Howard or Edwin. But don't let the way they pray, you say, oh, man, I can't pray like that, so I'm just not going to pray. Pray. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be present. Just have to be present. You show up. The roots of the trees are tangled underground before fruit ever appears. And no one sees it at first because the fruit doesn't happen right away. It happens in its season. So this season, as we're talking about digging our roots deeper, think about joining a small group. Well, you know, the only ones that you have are on Sunday mornings, and I get here as soon as I can. I'm not really interested. Okay, what about Wednesday night? Well, I don't like driving at night, so I can't come to that one either. Then start one. Start one at your house. Start one. And you could do it over Zoom or something. You don't even have to be in the same room with people. You know, you can just start a group. Commit to a small group. Engage relationally with somebody. Reach out instead of pulling back. No one grows alone. No one suffers unnoticed. Where faith is shared, not hidden. Wouldn't that be great for 3-Point Bible Church? Hey, no one grows alone here. No one's hurt when unnoticed. Our faith is shared. It's not hidden. A church where our roots grow together and fruit reaches far, far, far beyond our building. Some of us are exhausted. Some of us are exhausted, not because we're weak, but maybe because we're trying to stand alone, trying to do it all on my own. God never asked you to grow your roots deep by yourself. What he did, he planted us in a forest. And we're all the redwoods, and all our roots are together. And deep roots grow best when they grow side by side. Father, I just thank you for designing us for community. Father, I ask that you would heal wounds that make us hesitant and give us the courage to open our lives to one another. Father, root us together so we can grow strong and bear fruit for your glory. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.